The following program is sponsored by friends and partners of Kingdom Connection.
Father, the enemy thinks he's got my child, but I think I'll move over into the secret language, and I can't fight it in the flesh. The Holy Spirit will fight that battle. The Holy Spirit will convict that son, that daughter. The Holy Spirit will do the work.
Second Samuel chapter 5 and verse 17. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it, and he went down to the stronghold. He went, and the Philistines went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Rephaim means giants. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines?" It's a good idea. When the enemy comes against you, it's a good idea to go ask God what you should do. Instead of just going off and shooting off, telling everything, saying everything, maybe you ought to inquire of the Lord. And when he inquired of the Lord, he said, "Shall I go up?" And every other time he asked that question, every other time God said, "Go, go, go." But this time God said, "Do not go. Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" The Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand." But he's about to give him a little different direction. He said in verse 22, "And the Philistines went up once again." Everybody say "once again," which means they had done this before. "Once again" means it's coming back. It's coming back. "Once again." "And deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord." And notice the last time he said "go," but this time he's going to say "inquired of the Lord." And he said, "You shall not go up." That's why you need to keep praying. "You shall not go up. Circle around behind them. Come up upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly." The King James Version says, "Bestir thyself." I like that. Bestir. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Bestir thyself." Bestir. Stir up. It means stir up yourself. I'm waiting on God to move me. Stir up yourself. "Stir up yourself. Advance quickly. The Lord will go out before you." The Lord will go out before you. When you hear the sound of going and wind going through the tops of the trees, it means the Lord's angel armies have gone out before you into your battle to strike the camp of the Philistines. I like the fact that that verse said that when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed, which tells me that the anointing doesn't just affect us, but it affects our enemy. That anytime God anoints you and you are anointed, if you're a believer, the anointing is for you. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." And we're the body of Christ. And Aaron was anointed in Psalms 133, and oil poured down his head all the way down to the bottom of his garments, to his feet. And you and I, no matter what part we play in the body of Christ, have an anointing that makes the Philistines or the enemy know that there's power that is upon us that is greater than the power that they possess. And when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed, sometimes attack doesn't mean, most of the time, I dare say, almost all of the time, attack doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. It usually means you're doing something right. And when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed, they rose up. I thank God for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And David inquired the first time, and God said, "Go up." But the second time, God said, "Do not go up," which tells me that you should inquire, and when you go to pray, go somewhere and pray, and don't do all the talking. But after you prayed, after you've talked to God about your problem, you are, especially when it's a problem that again they came, the Bible said, the Philistines set up again a camp to attack. It's a reoccurring problem. You're not supposed to just pray about it, but sometimes you need to pray and then be quiet and listen. Listen for the voice of God, because our God is never without a plan. He's never confused. You may be confused about the battle that you're fighting, the enemy that you see coming back again and again, but God is not without a plan concerning the battle that you're fighting for your family and for your life and for your purpose and call that God has on your life. God has a plan. And God said, David, you're about to take your enemy by surprise and wipe him out. But you're not to go out like you've gone before. But let it be when you hear the sound of going, of moving in the top of the mulberry trees. When you don't move until you hear something above you. You're going to hear a sound of going or moving in the top of the mulberry trees. You're waiting on a sound. Notice you're not waiting on the enemy and what he's going to do. A lot of people go around, I wonder what the devil's going to do next. I'm not waiting on what kind of weapon the enemy's going to use next. You're waiting on a certain sound. You're waiting on the wind. You're waiting on the moving, which means whatever is in heaven is coming down to earth. There's an invasion of heavenly warriors that are coming from heaven down to earth. And before they hit the earthly battlefield, they're going to come through the tops of the trees. And when you hear the angelic armies come through the tops of the trees, you stir yourself up and you move out with the wind. The United States was attacked by Japan at Pearl Harbor. And because of that devastating defeat at Pearl Harbor, the Japanese held the upper hand in the Pacific realm. Everything the United States Army and Navy and Air Force and Marines tried to do, somehow the Japanese knew what they were going to do before they would do it. This is a historical fact, what I'm preaching. They could not figure out how that the enemy would intercept their messages and somehow know exactly what our army was going to do to try to win the victory in the battle. They finally realized that many of the Japanese soldiers had learned English, and many of them had been educated even in the United States schools, and they knew how to speak our language. And because they could speak our language, they were picking up and able easily to decode the messages that were being sent by radio to the troops. So they would listen, they knew the language, they could easily decode the military orders, and thereby they would know exactly what we were going to do and set up ambushments, and they were destroying us. That is until February 1942. A man by the name of William Johnston, who was a civil engineer and a World War I vet, had an idea, and he went to a general friend of his. His idea was, what if America could come up with a secret code that the Japanese could not break? What if they had a language that was so rare and so unique that the enemy could not decode it? And they called a special gathering of generals to talk to this man about his idea. His idea was to take 27 men from the Navajo tribe that spoke the Navajo language that had only been spoken on the reservations. It's never been taught in any school. This language is a language that only this tribe of Indians knew. And the reason this man knew about it was he was the son of a missionary, and he had been raised all of his life on the Navajo reservations. He could speak the language. And they got 27 Navajo Indians and gave them walkie-talkies. This is a historical fact. And the way that we defeated the Japanese and the way that the battle started turning
was when these men, in a language that only they knew, would give directions back and forth, and the enemy would try to decode it, and he couldn't decode the message because, what is this? I've never heard this before. They never taught me this before. The enemy could not break the code. These men were called wind talkers. That's what I've come to preach on this morning. They were called wind talkers. Hell was winning the battle. Demonic forces and Satan had the earth in bondage. But Jesus died and rose again. But he said, it's expedient for me to go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. But go to Jerusalem and tarry in the upper room, and I'm going to send my power and send my spirit, and I'm going to give you a special language, and I'm going to give you a special anointing. And when I give you this power, it's going to defeat the power of the enemy in your life. Move with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, suddenly they were all in one accord in one place, when suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. There it is. It's the moving in the upper room. Where did the wind move in the Old Testament? Up in the trees. And when the wind started moving, the mighty rushing wind filled the place where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. They became wind talkers. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak as the Spirit gave them the utterance. The Spirit came on them. They opened their mouths and they became wind talkers. A language was formed that day that Satan could not decode. A language was given by the Holy Spirit that defeats the powers of Satan, sin, and bondage. Hell cannot understand this prayer language. The Holy Spirit gives it, and it is not gibberish, and it is not jabber. It is not nonsense and emotional crazy fanatics. It is this power of the Holy Spirit praying through you in a language that the enemy cannot decode, cannot stop, and cannot resist. It brings victory into your battle. Clap your hands and praise God for the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I'm a wind talker, and I'm not ashamed of it. I refuse to give up the secret code. In the modern day church, I refuse to let the devil intimidate me and shut my mouth and tell me I don't need to pray in the Holy Spirit. Don't let the devil cheat you out of praying in other tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance. This church was born talking in tongues, and it's going to be raptured talking in tongues. I believe when the trumpet sounds, if the Spirit's in you, you're going to become a wind talker.
Well, I don't know about that stuff now. Yeah, Franklin Jensen, I like your little sermons on the blood and on the resurrection and on the cross, but you're going a little bit too far. Going a little bit too far. Well, let's see. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. See, when you begin to pray in the Spirit, you begin to pray in the heavenly language that is a language of intercession and worship, then something happens according to 1 Corinthians 14 in verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue, unknown tongue, does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Well, the Apostle Paul just said you get a secret language that nobody understands. You're not talking to people. You're talking directly to God. Then he said, in verse 18, the great apostle Paul, the man who wrote half the New Testament, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And he wasn't in the upper room. He wasn't one of the originals in the upper room, because some people say, well, it was only for those in the upper room. This was many years after. This was many years after. And he said, I thank God, the great apostle Paul, I pray in tongues more than you all. But then he gives some very good guidelines. Yet when I go to church, I'd rather speak 5 words in my understanding than I teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. He's not putting praying in tongues down. He's just saying it has its place in your personal life, in your personal prayer. He's saying if I get up and I just start talking in tongues, it brings a lot of confusion and nobody understands what I'm saying. But there is a secret coded language that God has for every believer. And he says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. But when I come to church, I don't do it because I've already prayed in the Holy Ghost before I get there. Now I'm going to get up and speak the wonders of God in the language they can understand. Then he pulls from the Old Testament, verse 21, in the law it's written, with men of other tongues. This is Old Testament. He's quoting from Isaiah. With other tongues and lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all of that they will not hear me. And then he says, therefore, tongues is not a sign to those who believe, but to the unbeliever. I'm almost done. But look what he says down here in verse 39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. And then he adds a little very important thing, especially for wild Pentecostals. Let all things be done decently and in order. So what does the church do? The modern day church takes the whole gift of tongues and throws it out of the church. Throws the baby out with the bathwater when God clearly said through the Apostle Paul, do not forbid this blessing. It's a secret language. It speaks mysteries. It's a coded language the enemy can't decode. Acts 19, Paul came upon 10 disciples of John. They had been saved and baptized in water in Jesus' name. They were saved as you could be. And then he asked them in Acts 19, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said to him what many in modern day churches would say, we have never heard so much whether there is a Holy Spirit. And when he laid his hands on them, they heard them. Paul laid his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And the King James says they heard them speak with tongues. But this says they spoke with tongues and prophesied. This was many, many, many years after Acts chapter 2 in the upper room. This is wind talkers who were saved and baptized, but they were lacking something. And Paul said, you need to be filled. And he laid his hands on them. And when he did, they became wind talkers and began to pray in the Holy Ghost, speak in other tongues. Acts chapter 10, the Bible said that Peter preached at Cornelius' house. And the scripture said the Holy Spirit fell on the house. Lord, please let it happen in this room, in every room watching me. Fell on the house. The Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. What happened next? They were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. How do you know? They heard them speak with tongues. And what is that? They're wind talkers. They've got a message the devil cannot break the code on. And the only reason that the battle was won in 2 Samuel 5 is because when they heard the sound of the wind, they went with the wind. The Bible said they stirred themselves. They bestirred themselves. King James says. Anybody hear the sound moving through the trees this morning? Anybody believe the power of the Holy Ghost is still relevant for this generation? You have to stir yourself. I've told you this illustration before, but Sharice loves sweet tea. Every morning, my routine is I go get me a coffee and I go get her a large sweet tea. And I bring it back to her. But if you go to some states like California, if you go up north somewhere, and you walk in and you say, I would love to have a glass of sweet tea, they will look at you like you just said a foul cuss word or something. Sweet tea? Oh, no, no, we do not have sweet tea. Are you foolish, foolish? Especially when you say, do y'all have sweet tea? They will look at you like you're an idiot. They do it all the time, every time we go to California, and she'll ask that. I don't know why she still asks, but she will ask. But what they'll do is they'll bring you an unsweetened tea, and they'll bring a big old container about that long, and it'll have about 40 little packs of sugar. And you'll sit there your whole meal. One day, I made a discovery. It's not the sugar that makes the tea sweet. It's the stirring. You can have it. You can have the Holy Spirit. But every now and then, you need a good stirring. Every now and then, you need to hear the mighty rushing wind in the tops of the mulberry trees in the upper room of your body, which is you. You need to hear it, and you need to open your mouth and be refilled with the power of the Holy Spirit and become a wind talker again. I hope many of you begin to get up every morning and you're wind talkers, and you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit again. We don't pray enough. We need to pray. We need to become wind talkers. We've got a secret language the devil can't decode. And there are some battles that you'll never win till you become a wind talker. And let the Spirit pray through you. And it's for you, and it's for your children. And it's for every person under the sound of my voice. I want you to stand up on your feet. I want you to lift up your hands. I want you to open up your mouth with praise. I don't want you to say something silent in your mind. I want you to open your mouth, and I want you to praise God, and I want you to listen for the sound. And when you hear the sound, let the Holy Spirit pray through you again. Let Him fill you. Become a wind talker. Refuse to be intimidated to become a wind talker. This is a message, I believe, that's in season for hundreds of people today. Just lift your hands high all over this room. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. That's good. But I want you to turn the volume up on your voice. Take it up three notches and begin to glorify Jesus. Everybody in this room, lift Him up. Lift Him up. Lift Him up. He wants to baptize you. He wants to fill you. You've been fighting something. He keeps coming again and again and again. I'm giving you the blueprint for victory. It's by the power of the Spirit. We know all things when we start praying in the Holy Ghost. He knows the mind of the Father. He knows the answer. He knows the attacks. He knows the enemy's plans, and He can give them to you, and He can defeat the enemy in your valley of giants. Woo! Stir up yourself. Come on. That's why the Bible said, stir up the gifts that are in you that were given through the laying on of hands. You might have had the Holy Ghost, but is He just laying down in the bottom of a glass? How long has it been since you stirred up the gift and became a wind talker? I'm a wind talker. Pray, 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 pray. Come on, come on. Demons are stepping back. Pray. Devils are afraid. Devils can't fight against the power of the Spirit. You've been fighting the enemy with the flesh, fighting with the Spirit, and you'll win. Our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Pray, pray, Dad. Pray, Mom. Pray for those children in the Spirit. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them.
that anxiety, that worry, that burden, that financial worry, whatever it is, pray in the Spirit about it. Pray in the Spirit. An answer will get through. An answer will get through the enemy's front lines. Pray. We're not defeated. We're not victims. We're not to be beat up. We're not to go around always wondering what the enemy's going to do next. I hear a sound in the mulberry trees.
This year, over 700,000 children and young people entered the United States with no parents, sent to be trafficked or worse, pushed across the borders with nowhere to turn and nobody to turn to. But we know that our God is a father to the fatherless. And we believe as the church, we have been called to the front line to help these children in the most desperate need. That's why we're partnering with Youth for Tomorrow to provide residential, educational, and outpatient services to these fatherless children. You can join Jensen Franklin to complete the construction of this beautiful home. With your generous gift of $1,000 or more, we'll place your name on the legacy wall and send you the Founder Gift Set, including a special edition of the Jensen Franklin Legacy Bible, with over 300,000 words of commentary and over 150 articles from decades of messages. When you send a gift of $300 or more, we'll send you the Legacy Gift Set, including a customized certificate and the brand new Jensen Franklin Legacy Bible. And everyone who responds with a gift of $30 or more to help provide housing and Christian education to these undocumented children will receive the Power of the Precious Gift Set with a custom print of Matthew 25:40, along with Jensen Franklin's message, Power of the Precious. Every gift counts. And when you give your best gift of any amount, we'll send you the beautiful custom print of Matthew 25 as a lasting reminder of what you've done for the least of these. Call now or visit us online to extend a hand of grace to these fatherless children in desperate need. This program has been sponsored by friends and partners of Kingdom Connection. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.